hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's a powerful scripture that has a practical impact, doesn't it, in our lives? Well, I want to begin by saying God is good. Do you know the response to that? That's right, and all the time. And that relates very much to our sermon today, to our topic, to what we've been looking at this week as we've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, that is kindness and goodness. I want to introduce you to a disciple of Jesus who was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She's been brought to people's attention quite a bit lately. If I can have the slide advance to the next one, I want to introduce you to Araminta Ross. Any relationship of yours, Woody? Araminta Ross. You know her as Harriet Tubman. She was born about 1820 into a situation that I pray none of us have ever experienced and ever will experience, and yet people are experiencing in the world today. Slavery. She was owned by somebody else. She was born owned with no possibility of having direction over her own life, with no possibility of determining, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do for my future? How am I going to make my way through life? She was born into slavery. By the way, this picture was discovered, I believe, just last year. Up until then, most of the pictures that you've seen have been of her much older in life. But this was when she was probably in her 40s, about 1868 or so, and it was discovered in a photo album of a neighbor of hers who they were very dear friends. And so anyway, it gives us a younger look of Harriet Tubman. And you can see in her eyes, or you can imagine that you see, because in these pictures, of course, from back then, they had to hold very still. So our pictures of what they might have felt, it might have just been, I'm holding very still. But I think I see a determination. Could we have the next slide, please? For some reason, this is not communicating. It's on and everything. But there she is. And you might wonder why I said that she was a disciple of Jesus, full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Those are the words that were applied to the woman that we know as Dorcas, or Tabitha, as she was actually called in the language that she spoke, Aramaic, full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. I want to ask you, based on what you know about Harriet Tubman, next slide, please, what you know about Harriet Tubman, what she most fully reflected in that? Kindness or good deeds in the fruit of the Spirit that we've been looking at? Kindness or goodness? Kindness or goodness? They're used kind of interchangeably. I would propose that in Harriet Tubman, we saw a form of kindness that is sometimes mistaken for not kindness. Because if you've read the stories, or perhaps you saw the movie that came out this year of Harriet Tubman, you know that while she did much good, she could be very feisty about it. You know that? She could be very strong and unbending about it. And yet I'm saying she was kind and she was good. Next slide, please. Now, she, early on, decided that she wanted to be free. And as her circumstances unfolded, and as more and more insults to her dignity and, in fact, her physical health, one of the biggest being that when she was young, a slave was running out of the room, and the master threw a heavy counterweight from a scales to hit the other slave, and instead it struck her. All of these things, whippings, beatings, and being a strong-willed person, what a challenge, what a trial it was for her. And so she ran away. And here is the actual ad that Eliza Ann Brodus, the lady who owned her, put in the newspaper on October 3rd, you will see, 1849, if you can read about that, read that. a reward of $100 for her 19-year-old brother, and for her 25-year-old brother. And here you can also see a little bit of detail about her, aged about 27 years in 1849, and chestnut color, fine looking, and about 5 feet high. Not very tall. Let's see, let's go down about right about in there. 5 feet tall. And oh, how determined she was. This time, her brothers lost courage, and they ended up turning themselves back in, going through whatever they went through as a consequence. But her desire did not die. Her hope did not die. And so it was that she escaped yet again. And this time, with the help of the Underground Railroad, she made her way north across the Maryland county line and into Pennsylvania. And she looked up and she thanked Jesus. She looked down at herself, it says, to see if she was the same person who had been a slave and now was free. And you might have thought, all well and good. She went up, she connected with people, began to make a life for herself. But this is where the goodness and the kindness comes in. Because Harriet Tubman could not keep that just for herself. There were people left behind. She could not be contented with this good experience only for herself. There were people back there, family, people that she knew, that were under circumstances, some about to be sold and sent away and separated from family, as happens so commonly. Can you imagine, with no hope of ever seeing or hearing from them again, no systems by which they could be traced and found and looked up sometime down the line? And the goodness of God in her could not stand by and do nothing about that. The kindness of God in her could not let her just enjoy her freedom and leave others in slavery. And so, I don't know how many expeditions she made. You can go to the next slide. I don't know how many expeditions she made, but she went back and back and back, talking to God all the time, finding Him to be her partner. People have varying opinions about what she claimed and understood to be her experience. Key times. Some people believe it's related to her head injury. Who knows? But she experienced God speaking to her and guiding her at key moments, helping her know which way to go across the river so that they would make it safely, helping her know when to move forward and when to hold back, and going along all the way. And here's the part. You notice what she's carrying there? It's something that kind and good people are not always reputed to be carrying. Do you notice what she's carrying? She's carrying a rifle. She always carried a gun with her. And here's how her kindness would manifest sometimes. Sometimes, when she was escorting a group, someone would get afraid, and they would want to go back. And I'm sure, having escaped from slavery, she believed in free will and freedom and all that kind of thing. But under those circumstances, what was on uppermost in her mind was that if someone went back, it would put the whole group in danger. And they themselves would miss out on what she had gone to give them. So, we can argue about whether her approach was right or not. I am so thankful for a gracious God who uses people as they are, and who hasn't given any of us the assignment of judging them and determining and getting our approval for how they work, understanding the leading of God in their lives. But anyway, she was known to she also had a pistol. She was known to take that pistol, and when someone was shrinking back, she would say, "Go on or die." Because she was not going to imperil the whole group that way. And we could have legitimate debate about whether that was the right approach. You know, I think about World War II, and another family, two other families that had such incredible manifestations of kindness. The Tin Boom family in Holland. You've heard maybe the movie The Hiding Place or the book The Hiding Place, and the Hazel family in Germany. Maybe you've read the book A Thousand Shall Fall. And one family, when they were hiding Jews in their house, felt perfectly free to lie to the Nazi authorities. And the other family felt very conscientious that they weren't going to lie. And they both had their different approaches. And guess what? God came through for both of them and helped them successfully hide and safeguard those people. And we can still legitimately debate, based on Scripture and our understandings, which was the quote-unquote right approach. But when people, and this is something I want you to understand, as we talk about kindness and goodness, when you partner with God to do a good thing for others, He is on board with you and He will help you. And that's what He did for the Hazels, that's what He did for the Tin Booms, and that's what He did for Minty, Harriet, who set out to do good. She directly was responsible for 70 people making their way to freedom. 70 people. She went back and back, putting herself in peril. She didn't lose a single one. And she herself was not lost in the process. She took them first to Pennsylvania, and then when the Fugitive Slave Act was passed, whereby people who gained their freedom in the North were supposed to be turned back and sent back south, she then took them all the way up into Canada. Is that good? Can we say that she was full of goodness? Full of kindness? She certainly was. And she made a difference that has been echoing and echoing with every generation of the descendants of the people that she freed. She also actually ended up leading a group in the Civil War that freed like 90 people at one time from one area of the country. And so some credit her with upwards, I think, of 300 people being freed through her work. And it's no wonder they called her. Do you know what they called her? History people? They called her Moses. They called her Moses, and she was very comfortable with that because she felt called by God to bring people into freedom. She felt called by God to do these tough acts of kindness and goodness. And so today, we are going to talk about another woman, another disciple of Jesus, who manifested the same qualities, perhaps in a different way. Before we do, would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for examples that we can look at that show us the different shapes of your character made manifest in humans. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, who is here to help us and here to bring this about in us, to change us into the likeness of Jesus, to change us into your own character. Please do this today through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, we continue. If we can have the next slide. So we continue with the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to go to Galatians chapter 5 and look again to see the context of this fruit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. You remember, as we talked about the first Sabbath, we launched into the fruit of the Spirit, that we are in a struggle, every last one of us. You might say, before we know Jesus, we're in a struggle. But I want to tell you that when we give our lives to Jesus, the struggle goes to a whole new level. Have you experienced that? Because before Jesus, our natural inclinations were basically the directors of our lives, right? And you have some good impulses and you try and follow them, and you have selfish impulses and you don't feel much compunction about following them. Whether it relates to temper, acquiring goods, how you treat people, etc., pleasures, etc. But when you meet Jesus and you give your life to him, Galatians chapter 5 tells us that a war starts. It says the flesh, your human nature, wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. Because now this new birth is taking place. And it describes in Galatians chapter 5 all the old familiar characteristics. Characteristics related to how we treat people, how we talk about people, or how we indulge ourselves and all these kinds of things that fight for the ascendancy. But then in chapter verse 22 and verse and 33 it says, but in the face of all of our natural, selfish, self-indulgent desires and inclination, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And so today, as we focus on kindness, as I thought about in the Scriptures, where we see that focused on, where that we see that exemplified so well, and there are many places that we could go, but I could not help being drawn to Acts chapter 9. And some of you in your small groups this week looked at this story in Acts chapter 9 of a woman named Tabitha. Could we have the next slide, please? Now, the thing that makes Tabitha famous and the thing that really got attention in the book of Acts is the fact that she was raised from the dead. What a miracle. It's difficult to say in this part of the book of Acts who the real protagonist is. Is it Peter? Because it's going on from one incident in Peter's life. The next incident in Peter's life is when he has that vision of the sheet with all the unclean animals in it. And he goes and he brings the gospel to Gentiles, Cornelius, the centurion, etc. And this is part of his journey on the way. This is how Peter got to Joppa, the town where he was staying when those emissaries from Cornelius came to him. But what got him here was this woman, Tabitha. And as remarkable as a resurrection from the dead is, I want to focus on the life of Tabitha. Did you pick up what her name means? It's interesting. This is obviously written for a Greek audience. So Tabitha is an Aramaic name. And the writer of Acts, Luke, says to ensure he interprets it for the Greek readers. In our language, he says that would be Dorcas. Isn't it funny that we have adopted that in English as the main thing that we call Tabitha, when what her mama called, which to me is someone's real name, is Tabitha. Her mama called her Tabitha. And it means gazelle. I think about that, and I think about why did Luke emphasize this so much? Why didn't he just say Tabitha? Why did he feel the need to translate it? Well, I believe that the characteristic that comes through in the meaning of her name was important to him, and he wanted that to be sure. I picture Tabitha as someone who was very energetic. Why would she be named Gazelle? And why would it be pointed out that she was named Gazelle? I imagine she was very energetic. What are gazelles? What's their reputation all about? They bound wherever they go, right? Have you seen the pictures on the African plain? And I assume they had some up in Palestine also at that time. How they bound and speed across the landscape. And what does Tabitha do as she's speeding across the landscape? What does she do? Helps people, Jack. That's exactly right. She does good works. She does good deeds, acts of charity. She spreads kindness and goodness wherever she goes, leaving it in her wake. She's not in such a hurry that she can't take time, but evidently what she did was so much and so continuous that this name of Gazelle stuck with her and meant and it rang true to people as they witnessed the life that she lived, going along, leaving goodness in her trail, leaving help in her trail, wherever she went. And as you read the story in Acts chapter 9, you read when Peter came and he arrived, and the people that she helped, basically they were saying, we don't know how to get along without her. She helps us. She makes our lives what they are. Read this. Then Peter arose, verse 39, and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. What a great impact. It reminds me of that quote about Jesus in Ministry of Healing, page 143, that says, the Savior mingled with people as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence. You could just as sure say this of Tabitha of Dorcas, couldn't you? She was mingling with the people in their need. When they were with Tabitha, they knew she was for them. Do you think people felt better off when Tabitha was with them? Do you think people felt better about themselves when Tabitha was with them? Oh, I am sure of it. And so it was. When she passed away, they didn't just say, well, we're very sad. Now we have to bury her. They sent away to Peter, wherever he was, to a town of Lydda. They sent away to Peter, messengers saying, you've got to come here and by the power of God, fix this. Because our lives have been disrupted. We can't imagine how we'd make it without her. This was the life that Tabitha lived. And so Peter did what they asked. And he said, Tabitha, using her given name, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he lifted her by the hand, and she got up. And he presented her to them. Alive. What a fantastic story. Look at the next picture. This, by the way, pardon me, go back to this one. This, by the way, is a 4th century sarcophagus in a museum in Europe. A 4th century. So this is from about 300 AD. Only 250 years after it happened. 260 years after it happened. A picture of Peter raising Tabitha from the dead. She went everywhere doing good. Do you remember the summary of Jesus' life? Jesus went about doing good. The fruit of Jesus living in you by the Holy Spirit is you and me going about doing good. I heard a quote, I don't remember who said it. But it said, I heard about a man named Jesus who went about doing good. Why is it that I so often am satisfied with just going about? And you might remember about this fruit of the Spirit, that it is fruit. This is not something for you to work on and work on and work on. This is something that requires a miracle of God. Think about those characteristics of kindness and goodness that we see manifested in one form in Harriet Tubman, that we see manifested in the life of Jesus, that we see manifested in the life of Dorcas, of Tabitha. Think about those characteristics. Are they familiar characteristics? Whose character do they come from? They come from the character of God. In Romans, Paul says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. This is the character of God. We sing the song, God is so good. We say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. These are the characteristics of God. So I will assert to you again, when we see this in the life of Dorcas, when we see this in the life of Jesus, when we see this in the life of others in Scripture and in our present day lives, we need to ask God for a miracle. We need to ask God to open our lives so that He can manifest this through us, because it is Him in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory through His Holy Spirit that makes this happen. As was pointed out earlier, we need to come to His Word and see Him and be changed by seeing how He is. Let His Word work on our lives and transform us with this goodness, with this kindness that we see in Him, that His Holy Spirit is able to then manifest in us as we drink in His Word, as we surrender to Him day by day by day. What I want to say to you is that as the Holy Spirit does that in your life, as the Holy Spirit manifests that goodness and that kindness in your life, everywhere you go, every person who comes in contact with your life, their life will be better. And in almost every case, they will feel better. I have to tell you, when Harriet Tubman was taking those slaves across the river and sometimes waving a gun in their face, I don't think they felt better all the time. But by the time the trip was over, were they better off? Oh yes, they were better off. And of course, some of us take pride in telling it like it is and mincing no words, and though we do a lot of good, we leave people hurting in our trail. I don't think it's that often that when we manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness and kindness, that we're going to leave people feeling worse after us. I believe the vast majority of our interactions will leave people feeling better and being better off. This is what God has called us to. This is what God can and will do in our lives. You know, in the Sabbath School lesson this morning, we talked about this little horn power that thinks to change times and laws. And if you know the three angels' message of Revelation chapter 14, you know that this particular body of believers, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, was raised up to help lift up God's law that had been torn down, that had been changed by human authority, that had been taken from its exalted position. And so we have focused on that. We have focused on the law of God. We have focused on restoring all 10 commandments. And I think out of that, a misunderstanding has come. And what the New Testament means when it talks about good works. I would encourage you to do a search in the New Testament on that phrase, good works. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find that in the vast majority of the uses of the term good works, it's talking about exactly the kind of things that Dorcas, that Tabitha did. There's one or two places where it relates to keeping the commandments of God. But the vast majority, the good works that show that God is in you, that Jesus was talking about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What was he talking about? He was talking about giving to those in need. He was talking about helping and healing people. These are the good works. This is what it was called with Dorcas. She was full of good works. Works of goodness. This is what it's talking about. This is how the people looking on at the early believers became convinced that there was something going on here that was good, that was beyond what they had previously experienced or understood as virtue. To see people caring. This is how hospitals were started. Do you know this? Because the early church was committed to do good works in the name of Jesus. To care for the stranger. Everything mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. The kindness, the goodness manifested there as unto Jesus himself was unusual in the culture of that time. These are the good works that we're talking about here and now. The works of helping people, of relieving suffering, of making things better for people wherever we go. Do you see that? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit do that in your life? Because that's what it takes. To be willing to let him do that in your life. To make the changes in your heart. To open your eyes where you go. Where you even see the landscape differently. Just as 2 Corinthians 5 says, when we're in Christ, we become a new creation because we see the landscape differently. Where we go into the world in our flesh and we see everyone as a competitor, we see how we can get the good that we desire, the good treatment that we need, And everything, with the Holy Spirit changing our eyesight, we begin to see the needs around us. We begin to see the people who are hungry, the people who are hurting, the people who need help, the people who are downtrodden. And we take up the very mission that Jesus spoke in that synagogue in Nazareth when he said, "The Spirit of God is upon me to anoint me to preach good news to the poor, to free the captives, to do good, to exhibit kindness, to show God as he is, so that people can see him and experience him through you and me as his Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. See Jesus lifted up and be drawn to him. This is not something that we can do by determination. This is something that, just like the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus says, I want you to be that good and kind person, we say, yes, Lord, I can't do it, but your power in me will. Would you trust him today? Would you ask him for that? Let's ask him together. Father, we thank you for your kindness towards us, for your attitude towards us that is an attitude of good, of welcome, of helpfulness. We thank you for your goodness towards us, and that you have provided us everything that we need, up to and including giving your only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sin, that we can be reconciled to you and have forgiveness and peace with you and eternal life, power to live a new life as your Holy Spirit comes into our lives and bears fruit. Oh, Father, we've seen the example of Jesus. We've seen the example of Dorcas. We've seen a more recent example of Harriet Tubman. And we can think in our own hearts and lives of people that we have known that have just exhibited and exuded kindness and goodness wherever they have gone. We want to be those people too, Father. We want you to show yourself as you really are through us to the people in our lives. Take us, send us 1,000 miles if need be, to show the goodness that you want us to. We cannot do this, Father, and so we come to you asking your forgiveness for where we have fallen short of what you have desired in our lives, thanking you for that forgiveness through Jesus, and offering our lives that you can do it in us and through us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me as we sing a song together of our love for one another? It's been good to be together. You can stand together. It's been good to be together in the presence of our God. We've enjoyed a taste of heaven right down here on earthly sod. May his word abide within us. May his love and blessed Sabbath to you. Find as many sanitary ways of letting each other know that you love each other as you can, and make sure that you get that hand sanitizer to work for you, and let us address the world not with a spirit of fear, but with a spirit of courage and of love and a sound mind. May God bless you.